Hello, and welcome to Book Reviews Kill, a podcast about fantasy, sci-fi, and horror novels. I'm Chad.
And I'm Evan.
And you are listening to the Monday Morning Minute.
And this week in fictional news, The Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, has a third season in the works before season two has even aired. This update comes with the news that showrunners Patrick McKay and J.D. Payne have signed a three-year exclusive overall deal with Amazon MGM under their new company, 1040 PM Productions. So there you have it.
I smell desperation.
Fans of Rings of Power, you got not one more, but two more seasons of Rings of Power ahead of you. That's fine, I guess. Like, I don't know.
Typically, I'd be like, it's going to be so good. But I think this is due to them being like, we better lock in the third season, because if they see what we've got prepared for them in season two, they're going to cancel us.
I don't know. There's like this really like, you know, it's a fine statement, I'm sure. But I mean, Vernon Sanders, head of television, Amazon MGM, we continue to be amazed by the scope and scale of their vision and the enormous global success achieved by The Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, and its record-breaking first season. I mean, yeah, it might have been record-breaking in like that a lot of people watched
spent.
It. But yeah.
What record-breaking?
Like, I'm absolutely going to watch it. It's just, I don't know, man. Like, it's just funny how, like, Shadow and Bone got canceled. Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance got canceled. That show, 1899, got canceled, you know? And then it's just like Rings of Power. Oh my God, it's amazing. Of course we need two more seasons. It's like, what? Really? Like, come on. It's like, not very good at all. The brand loyalty is one thing. And then, like, obviously the investment that they've made, too. And to be, like, 100% fair, I mean, it's not, like, the worst show I've ever watched. So, like, it is a cool show in its own way sometimes. But it's also just, it's just kind of a dorky show.
What do you want to bet there's going to have, like, an orc who, like, has struggle because he's like a good orc, and he's like, I
bet they already kind of go that way. They kind of like,
I feel like, yeah, they kind
of
did.
Yeah, I think that was like one of the parts of Rings of Power that I was super cool with, was that they had kind of moved away from, you know, this kind of like moral black and white kind of, you know what I mean, and they went a little more ambiguous with it, which I think is fine. I think it's fair to ask those questions. I just think that like Rings of Power, it just, for me, it's like the costume designs just. You know how in Lord of the Rings, I feel like the Hobbit movies are kind of guilty of this too, where it's just like, you can just tell they're like kind of cutting corners on certain things. You know, it's like, it looks
it's
really
all
good.
CGI.
Yeah, like it looks really good in some ways, but then it's just like, if you kind of stack like the armor from the soldiers of Minas Tirith up against the soldiers from Numenor, it looks really, really weird and kind of cheap.
Totally. Like, no way you've been riding a horse for 2 days. You're so shiny. Like, you'd be covered in sweat and grime. And I'm totally with you on the like moral, like it's cool to have some gray area,
yeah,
and make things a little more like nuanced. But like, I just, Salvatore did this with orcs where he's like, orcs aren't all bad. It's like, okay, I just, give me my simple world. Okay. I get it. It's cool to like, but like, orcs are bad. Let's do orcs are bad. Trolls are bad. It makes my world simple.
If you do it in a compelling way, then yeah, I don't care what precedent you set, as long as the execution is good, you know? But I feel like with Rings of Power, it's just kind of like, I don't know, it's like I said, it's just kind of a dorky show, but like, I'll watch season two and I'll probably watch season three because...
You know, and me and you say that with brand exposure, but like watchers like my parents won't. My dad watched two or three episodes, won't watch another one.
Oh, is he just not into it? Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, no, it's just not a good show. And so, you know, like, yeah, me and you are like fanboys, we will, but there is definitely a section of their audience that they will lose.
You know what's interesting though is I feel like you can, okay, I'm trying to like gather my thoughts on like how to say this specifically, but it's like, I feel like a show can veer so hard off of its source material that it's like now become its own, like, so Effie's mom really likes the Wheel of Time show, like a lot, hasn't,
wow,
read the books. And I feel like it's like, if you haven't read the books, then you don't have anything to compare it to, so you're just, it's just kind of like a fantasy show, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm surprised to hear it from, I just feel like it depends on the show, like it really just really depends on the show. Like I hadn't ever read the Witcher books, and when I watched the first season of The Witcher, I was like, this is awesome, this is really, really good. And then apparently like the first season pissed a bunch of people off that were really big fans of the books, but I had just played the video game, so I had like nothing to compare the show to, and it was a quality show to me. Like I really enjoyed the first season of The Witcher. I mean, the second season's like okay, and then I kind of I think I watched one episode of the third season. I was like, yikes, I don't really want to watch this anymore.
It just gets too shiny.
Did you watch the third season?
I did, but I mean, I watched like, I think I watched all of it. Yeah, it just gets too shiny, kind of like you were saying with the armor a second ago. It's just like, okay, we're just like running around, like fighting stuff, and like,
but
oh,
I love
we're
fantasy.
On a ship now, and there's a dragon
I know,
thing
but
that
I
we
love
need
fantasy.
To take out, and it's like an awesome fight scene, which is great, but it's just, there's no depth to it, you know?
I think, yeah, I mean, you know, I said earlier that it was a dorky show, Rings of Power, but it's like, I like all kinds of dorky fantasy stuff, you know what I mean? So
yeah, but this is dorky in a thing that destroys what you love.
It's a different way. I know, it's like a different, it's just a whole different thing. But like I said, like, I'm going to watch season two. And for people that are listening right now that are big fans of the show, I hope that that was cool news for you today, that they're going to have a third season. It sounds like these showrunners have made somebody at Amazon pretty happy, and Amazon's got pretty deep pockets. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to the, I think it's like the Rohirrim show, Riders of Rohan, or there's like a Rohan show coming out in a little while, or it's like a movie or something. I can't remember exactly what was going on with it. Maybe next week, everybody, I'll fill you all in. No, I have no, I don't know anything about it, but it was kind of like, we covered it like a year and a half ago or something. We had like a Monday Morning Minute, like the fictional news bit, where like some like Scandinavian company had like sold or bought, I can't remember, like most of the rights, like all the other rights that the Amazon hadn't bought, like rights to all the likenesses and all the books and everything. It's called like Tracer Group or something. I can't remember exactly what it is.
And they're the ones who bought what Amazon
like
didn't.
Everything, yeah. And then so, okay. And I think Peter Jackson is on board with some of the projects and stuff. So Lord of the Rings, I feel like it's going to become kind of like Star Wars or Marvel, in the sense where we're like, all the bulk of it's very cool and I like it, and then there's just these kind of like Rings of Power kind of things where, or what's the, like the Hawkeye show or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
where it's just
like
it's not that good,
but with the little raccoon dude,
Guardians of the Galaxy.
The third Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, just like,
you said it so old right
ended
there.
I know.
What's the
little raccoon guy? You know, like a show and a movie cannot survive on the cuteness of Baby Groot alone.
I mean,
you know,
Baby Groot's pretty cute, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah. How was your week? Tell me about it before you get going. I haven't talked to Evan in like 6 days.
Yeah.
It's crazy because we took a little break this week from doing our read-along ones, which has been great. Thank you, everyone, for understanding. We really appreciate it. But I'm kind of fiending for my best friend book talk. So tell me, hit me.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. So, you know, I told everybody last week, or you told everybody last week, that we were taking a week off. And boy, did I take a week off. I didn't post anything. I mean, I posted some memes or something on Instagram, as I'm wont to do.
Galadriel riding a horse.
I didn't post any content on TikTok or anything. Didn't really even jump into the Discord. I was just kind of like off my phone a lot this week, which was really nice.
Probably
healthy. Yeah, I just really did take, we took a nice break. Well, we were going pretty hard there for a few months. You know, we finished up Red Rising. We did Binti. We did the first two books of Malazan. It was 8 episodes of Malazan in a row. We did the first 3 books of Throne of Glass. Speaking of Throne of Glass, I finished Heir of Fire book 3, but this is our fourth book that we've read. Heir of Fire is awesome. Like, So at first, when we started Throne of Glass, I was like, this is fine. Like, I didn't love it. You know, there were parts of it that I liked a lot. There were definitely scenes of it that I liked a lot. Some characters I liked a lot. For the most part, I just wasn't super into it. I was into it enough to keep reading it and to keep having conversations about it. But I was like, man, if there's 8 of these, like, I'm not going to be very excited about this. But no. If the rest of the books are as good as Heir of Fire or better, then we're in for a very big treat for the rest of this. Not just for the discussions, but for just our reading separately. Man, like, what a way better book than Throne of Glass or Crown of Midnight or Assassin's Blade.
Very much superior.
It feels like it was just, I don't know, like, it's weird because all the stuff from Throne of Glass, like the previous books, is there.
But we have a home now, a home base, Wendolyn. I really latched on to like the whole area, you know. I just thought it was pretty cool. Like, we're not in a, I don't know, I felt like we were in enemy territory the entire last books, and now we can kind of relax a little bit and get to know each other. And
there's just more, I feel like it was just more for me to bite into now with this book. And there's so many cool scenes. Like, there was a part, I think it was like 200 pages in, where it's just like four banger scenes after another, you know, just one, two, three, four really awesome things happen. And then it kind of dipped a little bit in the middle where there was just, it was just, it's, you know, it's like Kaol and Dorian and Adian. Just kind of like, oh, well, I know some things. Like, do you know some things? Like, we'll talk to this person, see if they know some things.
No, and this is a different type of magic.
Yeah, so like that kind of happened. And I feel like there was a little bit of a lull, kind of. But man, yeah, it's just, it's a really good book. And I'm excited to talk about it. I'm glad that we took a break because I kind of needed a break after Assassin's Blade. I just didn't like it that much. And I, you know, I had a good feeling about Air of Fire after I got a couple of chapters into it. But then right around like the 200 page mark, I just couldn't put it down. It's really cool. Also,
Rowan, thumbs up.
Yeah, I was just down? About to mention Rowan.
Nice.
We'll talk about it more on the podcast, of course, obviously, for people that don't know what the hell we're talking about. Rowan is a character who got introduced, who I really hope we see a ton more. I really like Rowan a lot. He's really, really cool.
Love interest?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I like him better than everyone else so far, I think.
I don't want to spoil anything. I mean, I do know what my opinion is. But I don't want to spoil anything for anybody that's not quite there yet. We don't want to say too much more about Rowan. We don't want to say too much more about Air of Fire.
My nephew is named Rowan.
Oh, it's a good name.
It's a great name.
We'll talk about that book on Wednesday when we put the episode out. So look out for that, everybody. Speaking of our reading that we're doing, Memories of Ice, third book in Malzahn. I'm not quite to where we need to be for our episode that we need to do. I think it's like 160, 170 pages in or something like that. I'm not liking Memories of Ice as much as Deadhouse Gates, but I do like it a lot. I'm pretty confused about some things for sure, but I think that's just kind of the way it is. I have some questions that I need to ask you, and I think it's just, you know, it's the beginning of a Malzahn book, so... the prologue was really cool. I remember that. And then there's like one specific scene that happened that I remembered reading that I was excited about, and it like happened, and I was like, ah, sweet, that's awesome. But yeah, I kind of miss being on the other continent, you know. Kind of, there's like, if for people that aren't sure what we're talking about with Malzahn, you kind of dance around between books from different parts of the world. With Deadhouse Gates, we were on a whole different continent, and I got kind of like cozy there. If cozy is even the right word for the horrible thing that happened. And but yeah, I mean, then just kind of bouncing back, it just kind of gave me a little bit of whiplash. But yeah, Memories of Ice is cool. Blah, 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 blah. Books. Okay, last night I saw Dune Part 2. Did you see it, Chad?
I have not, no.
Holy crap. It was so good. Like, it was so much better than the first one.
I shouldn't feel as vindicated as I do, but I do. Because I was like, dude, we're not taking some random guy's opinion for who didn't really like it very much. We're taking the opinion of the first 3 hours to say that the next 3 hours are going to be so good. Tell me about it. What was so good? Did it stay true to itself?
I'm sorry for the vulgarity, but this is how I have to say it. It was so fucking good. Like, it was so amazing. It was almost 3 hours long, and I didn't feel like it
at
all.
Better?
Oh, way better. Way better than the first movie. I mean, this might be recency bias.
That's a crazy statement.
It is so good. And I don't even feel bad for like hyping it up this much. It really, it's one of the best movies I've ever seen, man. It's so good. Like, dude, from the second it starts to the second it ends, you're just like, holy shit. Like, it's just like one thing after.
Movies you've ever seen. That is a crazy high accolade right there.
You need to go, everybody. Effie just came into my room that's mad at me for yelling. Okay.
Oh.
Sorry.
I remember with Dune 1 being like, after leaving the theater, being like, this is a movie that needs to be seen in the theater because they did such a good job with the scale of it. Things were so huge. Is that continue on in this? Like, I need to see it in the theater.
Man, go watch it. There's not even really much else I need to say about the movie. I mean, it's just, you've got my blessing. go watch the movie. Like, I mean, it really is like, I mean, I think it's because obviously like the latter half of Dune is, you know, arguably much more exciting. There's like the Harkonnen attack in the beginning of the first one, obviously, but then, you know, I mean, this it's pretty consistently exciting. But yeah, man, I mean, Timothy Chalamet just freaking crushed it. Like, he did such a good job. Zendaya was amazing. Rebecca Ferguson, I think, was her name, Paul's mom, incredible. Stilgar, man, it was just, and it's funny too because I feel like Denis Villeneuve, the director, he kind of like Peter Jackson did, you know, he kind of was like, okay, yeah, like, that's interesting. We should probably keep that in, kind of, but like, let's take this small bit and like really expand on it. Like, Chani, like Maldives, lady friend, concubine, I don't really know, wife.
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
her role in the book is fairly significant, but in the movie it's a way bigger deal that like her, you know. And I don't want to like spoil anything because like a lot of people haven't read the book and a lot of people are excited to see the movie, so that's all I'm gonna say is that like I really liked what Denis Villeneuve did with Chani. I thought it was really brilliant. I think that the whole movie is spectacular. I mean, really, like, go see it. Even if you've never read Dune, I'll go on record saying it right now. Those two movies are way better than that book. Like, you don't worry about reading the book. Like, I mean, read it if you want to. It's a good book. It's a classic. It's one of the pillars of science fiction. I've read it like 3 times. It's an awesome book. Those movies, way better than that book. Like, way better.
Thanks for Stuart. I have them all now, so I can watch. I can read them.
They are very cool books. I stopped after God Emperor because things are getting a little wacky.
I kind of love hearing that feedback, though. Like, that the movie is better than the book. Because that means that they wrote that they made an amazing movie.
It's so good. Go see it. Seriously. You know? Go next thing you do. Go see that movie.
Okay. See if there's any showings.
See it in theaters. Absolutely go see it in theaters. Like, it's funny. I was, I mentioned this to some of my other influencer friends today. Like, I bought the tickets and I bought one for Vaughn and my brother and I bought one for Effie. It was like $50 to go see this movie. And I was like, oh, okay. And then we get there and I got popcorn because I always have to get popcorn if I go to a movie. And I got some candy because we were late and we couldn't go to the store and sneak any in. So I like bought some candy. And it was like $25 or whatever. So I'm like up to like, you know, I spent a lot of money. Then we're like sitting in the theater and I don't know if, man, I'm going to sound like Lewis Black or something. I'm going to sound like so curmudgeon-y right now. But like, I don't know if any of you have been to theaters recently, gotten there at the specific time you're supposed to go to the theater. You know, so like our showing was at 9 o'clock. We sat down at 9 o'clock and then it was like 25 minutes of like advertisements and trailers. You know, it wasn't just trailers. It was like food.
Did you forget which movie you were seeing?
No, but there was like this. I sound so curmudgeon-y, but there was a commercial for the movie theater I was already sitting in. It's like, dude, I'm already here. Like,
Regal, the experience of a life. You're like, dude, I'm here.
I
man.
Literally paid
me.
To come in here already. Like, man, I'm not gonna forget that I went to the movies. Like, anyway, it was funny because I was kind of cynical of the whole process. You know, I was like, oh man, I'm just being taken for a ride here. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, I could just watch this in the comfort of my own home. No, for Dune. No. You should go see it in theaters. We've talked about that a million times on the podcast, but like, that's one of the ones where like, if you try to watch it at home and get the same experience and you have neighbors, they're going to get really mad at you. It was one of the loudest movies I've ever seen. The sound design was incredible. Man. Yeah. Just go watch it.
Is the size the same?
So huge. So huge. Music was great.
So huge.
The sequences were amazing. The pacing was really, really good. It's just a freaking amazing movie, man. I'm so excited about it. You know, and let me just be really clear here to everybody that's like, wow, Evan is so excited about this. I really like Dune also. So that's, you know what I mean? So
right.
Like, just take that also, like when you go see it and you're like, that was confusing and kind of stupid. Like, what the hell was Evan talking about? Like, Dune was like one of the first like big series that I got really into for a little while. So had a very thorough understanding of that movie when I was watching it. So that helped along like my excitement for it. So I just wanted to like throw out that little caveat, you know.
Which I really recommend doing is seeing the movie with someone who has read the books and is kind of a fanboy of the universe. Because my roommate knows a lot about the universe.
Oh, cool.
And so I was able to like lean over to him and be like, okay, like how does the armor work? And he'd be like, well, it's like a kinetic thing. You
have
know,
to like push into it slowly to be able to penetrate it.
Yeah, which is such a cool, there's some really cool ideas in that. But it was really helpful for me to understand some of the outlying details that they waste no time on in the movies, which is nice for someone who understands those things, but for someone who didn't understand like the house system and kind of how the universe as a whole works, like the hierarchy structure within it, it was nice to have someone explain it to me. So yeah, if you have someone who's a nerd and knows it, I definitely recommend taking them to the movie. It might even be worth it to pay for their ticket.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Villeneuve did but I'm sure that there's, you know, obviously there's dozens of other people that worked to make the movie as good as it was. But I think that the crew making this movie did a pretty good job at kind of leaving out some more confusing bits that maybe don't need to really be there. And I don't think the word Landshred was used the entire book or anything. You know what I mean? Like there's whole, I don't want to get into it, but
okay.
There's what I'm saying is like, I feel like they were able to communicate visually and with like a lot more brevity, like stuff that took a few pages of being explained, like it being explained to you in the book And that's one of the cool things about movies is you can express a lot with just a couple shots, you know?
Right. You can really show.
Yeah, totally. But also, I mean, there were definitely parts where Effie was just like, what, who is she again? Like, what is the Bene Gesserit? And I had to be like, and it sucks because we were like watching a movie and I was like, okay, like, let me try to explain what the Bene Gesserit is in like, in like 5 seconds so we don't miss anything while we're talking. But I would definitely recommend everybody go see it because it's very, very cool. Also, I finished The Last of Us, the show. And
oh, nice. I watched a few episodes.
Yeah, what a terrific show that is. Like, really, I mean, this is a really good week for watching cool TV and good movies and stuff because it's so funny, man, because like I feel like on this podcast, I've kind of been like, oh, yeah, I didn't really like the game very much. Like, I just couldn't get into it. And like the show is just so like Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey just crushing it. Just they work so well. Their chemistry together is just second to none. I really, really enjoyed watching that. Like, I could watch 5 seasons of just them talking to each other, you know,
which is great because that show is all about relationship. Yeah, like it is what the show is about. You know, it's like what the entire game rested upon, and that needed to be like nailed it sort of thing. And they nailed it. I don't know who they could have gotten that would have done better.
I know you haven't finished the season yet. I was definitely, without spoiling too much, I was very surprised with how things wrapped up.
I was going to ask, were you satisfied?
No.
No. Okay.
Like, but in like a very cool way, you know what I mean? But it's
okay. Yeah. Like you're ready for the next one.
Oh, absolutely. I have to find out. I'm like tempted to just play the next game.
Knowing our luck, they're not like going to get a second season. Like what?
No, I think that's definitely happening.
Okay.
It was like one of the most popular. I can't believe it took me a year to watch this show. Like, it's so silly. I don't know what's wrong with like it. I critique media for like a living.
Dude, I forgot about it, man. So no shade for me.
I know, but it's just silly because like I don't know. It's just when something's that popular, like you should check it out. You know what I mean? Like just check it out. See what the buzz is about. For some reason, I think I had such a bad taste in my mouth because of the game, which is so silly because it's like I didn't have a problem with the story of the game. It was the gameplay that I didn't like. So I don't know why I wouldn't like the show. Anyway, it doesn't matter now because I watched it. It was really, really good. Okay, so almost done here.
Take your time.
I watched so much stuff this week because I really did take a break from...
I could listen to you talk for days.
I took a break from reading. I took a break. I didn't take a break from writing. Writing is a whole other thing. So Effie really wanted... And for anybody listening that doesn't know Effie, I keep mentioning the name Effie, is my girlfriend who I live with. We're besties. We're roomies. And we do everything together. And Effie really
she's
wanted
awesome.
To watch, she's the best. She wanted to watch The Dark Crystal because she hadn't seen it since she was like eight
always
or nine.
Down.
And we've been dating for 4 years and we still haven't watched The Dark Crystal together.
That's crazy.
Yeah, which I feel like it shows a lot of self-restraint on my part, honestly.
It really is. You watched Twilight before you watched The Dark Crystal.
All 5 of them. But anyway, so we watched The Dark Crystal and she loved it. She thought it was awesome because she's awesome. Dark Crystal's awesome. Why wouldn't they like each other? So we've been watching the show, The Age of Resistance, and she really likes that too. And this is my third time watching Age of Resistance. Man, it really is a terrific show. Like it's very, very good. I think that on my third watch of it, I'm kind of noticing a little, it's just like a little bit, just funny parts of it. It's like the puppets, it's like the show is so serious. The show is so serious.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
At parts, and like I took it really seriously the first time I watched it, and like I have a vague memory of the second time watching it. But anyway, it was like around the time that you were watching it, I like went for it again.
Totally.
But anyway, like watching it this time, I'm kind of noticing like just some of the really intense like emotional moments like kind of land, like they're there, like they're landing, but it's like a little bit of a fumbly land because they are. Very much puppets.
That's a weird vibe.
Yeah, because they're puppets.
You know, like
there's like Uncanny Valley thing happening.
Yeah, and yeah, totally. And you could watch it the entire time thinking it was kind of a joke.
Like I,
you know, no. Like drink their essences, and they're like kind of like in like their horns are kind of wobbling around, and they're just like,
it's almost
it's
a
just,
joke in that
no, it, their beaks.
It's like how good could we make this fantasy B movie look? You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a good way of putting
it. Yeah, where it's like nobody really asked for it to be this good. And like this, it's like it was almost like never supposed to be. this good.
Right, right.
You know, it's, and so, but that's just like a, I'm just being a huge nerd. Another thing that I noticed about the show is that because it's puppets, the fight scenes are really shaky because they, it's like, yeah, they can't really choreograph a fight scene like you would in like the fight in the first episode of The Witcher. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get that with puppets. Like, try as hard as you want. You're like, it's not going to happen. So,
right,
like, they had to get really clever with like the camera shots, and it was just like really, 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 really quick cuts. It's like 100 cuts in like in like a fight scene, you know. But I just like
the Skeksis are kind of clumsy, and I mean probably because made from puppets, but they're just kind of like these big kind of waddling turnip shaped things, mm-hmm. like, you know, and they mm-hmm. have like their staves of power and stuff, so they can kind of offset it with some magic. But as far as like, you know, an acrobatic sword scene, they're not.
Well, there is the hunter, like Skekmal. He does have
right.
like that
There's
kind
him.
Of sequence, but then once he's fighting the puppet, they got to slow everything back down again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I don't remember those scenes being bad.
No, they're really cool. There's no badness to it or anything. It's just, it's funny, like on this other.
Or goofy, I guess I should say.
There's a goofiness to it, I should say. Yeah, like it's. But I like it. I'm having a good time with it. Okay, last thing. I bought myself a PlayStation 5 this week, which might explain my not reading as much. But yeah, I bought a PS5.
And?
So I've been playing Horizon Forbidden West.
Okay.
It's a really beautiful game. Like, I like it a lot. Man, they should make that into a TV show, too, because there's so much talking. So, and you know me, I've talked about it on this podcast a lot.
Zero Dawn?
Zero Dawn is one of those. Yeah, Zero Dawn is the first one, and then Forbidden West is the second one. Forbidden West is, like, I feel like everything about it is just improved. I think the gameplay is better. There's quality of life fixes that I really appreciate. It's a really beautiful game. The story's pretty cool. I like Aloy a lot. Just the main character, Aloy, is one of my favorite video game main characters. She's the best. But yeah, the story, while it is good, I feel like the game is making me watch too many cutscenes. Like, I really, and I think that that's just like an issue with Sony games in general.
Sony loves their cutscenes.
I just wish that they could just kind of consolidate some stuff and just like, my least favorite thing is like when there's a cutscene and then it dips back into gameplay mode and it's like, go over here and talk to these people. And then you just literally, all you do is push the joystick forward and then you go talk to somebody else and there's another cutscene. It's like, dude, can you just cut to the next scene? Like, do you really need me to like walk over to the next cutscene? Like, oh my god, the immersion factor.
It's funny, they do have a way of like trying to seamlessly get you into cutscenes because they're like, oh, you're so immersed, but really you're just like over here trying to play the game but not realizing it's a cutscene. So it's like if they try to immerse you but really they just annoy you because you don't know that you're in a cutscene.
Yeah, I mean,
that always happened with Metal Gear.
Oh my gosh, Metal Gear has, but Metal Gear's cutscenes are like really cool.
Super cool.
But yeah, like a lot of cutscenes just kind of bugs me. I know it's not a thing that bugs everybody else. Obviously, everybody has like their own preferences. But yeah, I mean, I'm really enjoying it. I mean, the thing with Horizon that I'm sure a lot of listeners could probably relate to is the gameplay is just so much fun. Like the actual combat and the way that you fight these like giant robot dinosaur animal things is really cool. Really fun. And so I just kind of want to like get back to that. You know, but it's like we got to have like this. There was like a 15-minute cutscene. It's just like, Man, this is like an episode of TV, like between me fighting these robot dinosaurs, and it's really bogging it down. Like, I am interested. I'm like genuinely interested in what's going on because the story. If anybody's curious, I can just tell you real quick. The story of Horizon is that it takes place like thousands of years from now, after an AI. Like that we tried to get to like help the situation actually ended up hurting the situation. And I don't want to go into too much more detail, but it is a very cool story, you know, and the main characters connected to all of this in a really interesting way. So I am on board. I want to know, but I also want to get back to killing the giant robot dinosaur things with my bow and arrow. And I don't want
to drop
minutes.
You into like a boss fight after this 15-minute, you're like, I'm asleep over here.
I'm like not ready for it. But yeah, wow. Okay, so that was my whole week. The highlights of the week.
So pretty.
I know, right? The highlights was so definitely going and watching the second Dune movie. But yeah, really cool, relaxing week for me. This week, everybody, Chad and I are back on track with everything, hopefully, and we'll get some episodes out for you. But yeah, tell me about your week.
I did read some things, actually.
Hey.
It's funny. You finished...
I watched a lot of stuff.
That's crazy how we work sometimes, because like we don't plan this out. But I was watching, I feel like, a lot for the first like quarter of this year, or the first like 2 months maybe. And then somehow, like right as soon as I stopped watching everything for no reason, just kind of forgot to watch things, you picked up everything. And so right when I stopped having anything to say about watching, you were like, and I've got a lot to. And so it was kind of nice how that worked out. You know? Like, hey, we're like, you're the yin to my yang.
I am.
My podcast yin yang. So it's also funny because I didn't finish Air of Fire, which you did, but I did finish the Malazan reading.
Hey, okay.
And I have a little bit of mud on my face because I thought that the introduction to my favorite character, Karsa Orlong, was in the first half of Memories of Ice. And it's actually in the first house.
To correct you.
Oh, man. Yeah. Sorry, guys. I thought, and everyone's like, yeah, we know, bro. But it's in House of Chains. And so
I was excited.
I set myself up for failure right out the gate, you know? And I feel like, because I was just like, Karsa Orlong. Like, and then no Karsa.
I'm really glad that the Discord corrected you on that, though, because I would have been looking forward to Karsa Orlong for the entire book and they never would have showed up. So.
Thank you, guys, for helping me monitor Evan's excitement, because I'm over here just full of lies, leading him off down a frivolous path of deceit. Okay, I feel like Steven Erikson starts every book by picking up like a globe of his world and spinning it and then like putting a finger on it and then being like, and this is where our story is starting today. Because I feel like every book, at least that I remember, and I'm sure it's not everyone, but so far, you start off in like a different locale, typically with a different group of people even. And then as the story progresses, you kind of start weaving them back together.
Convergence.
And some books are better than others. Some of them, I remember one as being very egregious. You're just like, what? I'm enjoying it for sure. But I really like how we're breaking these books up.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great thing that we did.
Yeah. Can you imagine trying to do these in one episode? No.
Dude,
They'd either be 7 hours long or they'd be the worst podcast episodes we've ever made. You know?
Can you imagine the recap?
Yeah, so it'd be really long. Or they'd be really bad recaps. You know?
Yeah, it'd be really bad recaps. Dude, and I feel like we're providing the world a service with these detailed recaps, because there's not there you can find them written out there if you accumulate and read a couple different ones, but not a nice put together detailed one that goes section by section that you can kind of take it in chunks. Yeah, I really feel like that is for posterity's sake.
I do have to shout out 10 Very Big Books, who does a bang-up job recapping
these
books.
We can still be in a fight, but, you know.
I mean, they finished it, so we'll see.
I got to shout out Steven Erikson. I know you're listening, and we're going to want you on this podcast. Yep, absolutely. I know you've just been, like, listening and being like, well, I hope I get an email from him. Let me tell you.
You got that coming.
Mr. Erikson, that email is coming, and we want you on this podcast. Dude, I'm like, I've already got a list of questions that I want to ask him. It's going to be really hard not to do a spoiler interview because I want to ask him story specific questions. What are your thoughts about doing like a spoilery interview?
I think I don't even know if we could even do like a worthy interview without spoiling some stuff.
Yeah.
I think we just got to talk about some stuff. Like,
totally. And like, I know I have great ideas as to like what Warrens are and things like that, but I want to hear him give me some descriptors in his own words. Yeah, because I feel like he doesn't maybe, and I want to like not trap him, but I do want to hear him.
Steven Erikson.
Yeah. So what are Warrens, Steven?
You said 10 years ago, you had no idea what you were talking about. Can you explain more?
Dude, there was we just let it breeze on by, but there was a section right at the end of the last one where it's talking about all this broke pottery, specifically in relation to how much history there is in that area. And I was like, oh my gosh, we were joking about this. It was perfect. Okay, so that was Memories of Ice. Air of Fire, like you said, I won't go into it here. Listen to our episode. It's going to be a good one because this book is so much better than the other ones. It's just, I needed a little bit more like nuance to the story, I guess. And I feel like before we were just, I don't know, it was a little too simple. And then I really didn't enjoy the short story one very much. And so this book really picked me up and I'm now facing the rest of the series with my head held high and my trust in Sarah J. Maas's ability to not only entertain me and like give me like jungle scene descriptions that like I can taste her descriptions, you know, like very, very good. But like also I actually like the characters now. And I'm not just like, I don't know, if I get too much of one thing on a character, I begin looking for only that thing. And then I can get a little bit jaded. And I feel like that was about to happen with some of her main characters. And then with this one, it got way deeper. She made it more nuanced. And I'm like, okay, cool, 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 cool. I'm not going to be making fun of them in my head the whole time, you know?
No, it's really good. It's a very, like, there was a total, like, okay, here we go. Like,
yeah. Right?
Like, okay, now we're off to the races after 1300 pages. It's a little long, but whatever.
A little long.
Can I move the conversation back over to Erickson just for a second, because I want to read this thing.
Of course.
Somebody in the Discord posted this thing that Steven Erickson, this could be photoshopped, I'm not sure, but I'm just going to read it like it was something he actually said, because I'm pretty sure it was something he actually said. But he said, this was in January of 2022, so very recently. He said, in answer to reader frustration regarding ridiculous names, five new recruits have joined the Malazan army from a tribe that calls itself the Mandrablagorgan. Their names are Magulgogodolrab, or Hibodobodolrab Ud, Gadura Gulbudulrab Urg, Brabadubadubadurb, and Edurbadalbalabad Urb. Were one to speak to you in their native language, they might say something like, which means, well, I don't know what it means, but I'll figure it out eventually. Okay, sorry. That was really obnoxious, but it's almost like Erickson is very aware of how ridiculous some of these parts of these books are. So I was while you were talking about Sarah J. Maas, I was looking at that. So we can go back. Sorry.
No, I feel like we should stay there for a second. I love a self-aware author.
Me too.
You know, because some authors Pierce Brown, not a very self-aware author. You know,
he's just kind of like really
going forward.
Right, okay, we don't have to open up.
He's
that,
self-conscious,
that
not
again.
Self-aware.
We could have like an hour-long conversation about that.
Okay. Well. Yeah, we could. We're not going to get into it. I think I would agree with you once you said 5 minutes of where you're coming from, because I agree. Okay, so I finished, and only through the sheer mightiest of willpowers did I prevent myself from reading and starting the next one, Combat Codes, Alexander Darwin. Man, that book is so great. I literally learned a new takedown from it.
I knew you were going to love it. I knew it.
I gotta say, like, if you've never trained martial arts, he captures like the essence of it so well that like you could actually kind of walk away from reading that book being like, yeah, I know what a class might be like. It's not like a blood frenzy, like you're not fighting with a country, you know, like at stake, but man, it's just
sounds so epic.
It's so epic. It's like he does things in when he's describing his fights that he kind of rewards people who know Brazilian jiu-jitsu, because he'll be like, well, I know if I turn on my back, someone will be in mount, and he'll be like, I know if I turn on my side, the other guy can get his hooks in. And it doesn't describe what that means, and to someone who's never done Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you don't really know what that means. But I was like, I know exactly what that means, and it's like literally the attack for that move. And I won't describe it because it would be hard, but like he throws out these little like nuggets, I feel like just for his jiu-jitsu people.
Oh,
he's like,
so
here
awesome.
You go, guys, like here's a little nugget. And I'm like, yeah, well, that would be, that's why you don't get your hooks in. And then he described a thing that he was like, well, yeah, but that guy's really big. And he described a situation where you might actually do that and the opponent would not be able to do that counter to it. And I was like, wow, I never even thought about that, but he's right. It was just, man, so good. If you're a martial artist, especially if you've done Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you should definitely read these books, because it was written for you. And even if you don't, his ability to describe a fight scene, how takedowns work, the flow of two bodies together, and how one incapacitates the other is just unparalleled and so clear that he has been crushed by a 300-pound person, like putting weight onto his chest while he's like gassed out, you know. He just describes it from someone on the inside, and it's just a breath of fresh air.
Well, not to mention the idea, like all of that mixed with what sounds like champion military style war, you know what I mean? Like this,
totally. I always do a bad job of like hyping anything else in the book, but you're totally right.
Let's talk about the plot just like a tiny bit.
Okay, so the plot post like weapons of mass destruction war, every country has decided they pick a champion now. We've all just agreed that we just fight amongst ourselves. We have the champion, so only one person has to die, if even. So they settle disputes. You know, it's like a border dispute where one country wants this mine and the other country's like, no, it's my mine. And then they send their champions to fight each other, and the loser to the victor goes the spoils, you know?
So cool.
The whole culture around his fighting rings are exactly what you would expect if that sort of thing would go up, which kind of like grungy, kind of gross. And it's like originally built upon honor and like, you know, like the fighter should have no worldly possessions and they stay focused on like the goal, but they kind of after, you know, we've been into this world for a while. And so there's like definitely had enough time to for it to get a little rotten in its core, you know, which I think is going to be addressed. And so I'm singing its praises as high as you're singing Dune 2's.
Wow.
Is it Dune 2 or does it have a
I call it Dune name? 2, but it's Dune Part 2.
Dune Part 2. Okay. Yeah. Dune 2 sounds a little like,
I like it. I like saying it.
Dune 2. You watch Dune 2? Well, yeah. Okay. So I don't know why this is super relevant, just things that I read, but I also took the time this week to really take it back to the roots. I really like war stuff because duh. And I love speeches of war leaders. And so I went on like a big war leader speech thing, which I won't bore you with my favorite ones, but Patton, he's the best. And then when I was doing that, I was like, oh, you know, it's been a long time since I've read like the Constitution and the amendments and the Federalist Papers. So I read all that stuff and it was really nice to kind of take it back to the roots. I feel like we're so far beyond it that we kind of get lost in the mud and the sticks sometimes. And it was nice to go back to the roots and read some of that founding documents, you know, which are still crazily relevant sometimes and crazily not relevant in other cases. So it was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, it's like how some of it does apply and some of it like absolutely does not, you know, and just totally. Like it really, it's like a time capsule, just like kind of like seeing the way that people were thinking and like how they felt about what they were doing and how, not even just what they were doing, but like how things should be done. And it's like, man, people, it's interesting to think that like people had debates, like really intense debates about what was ultimately settled on with regard to what papers you're talking about for the time that they were written. And now it's like this is like, that was written by aliens. Like this is like a completely different time, a completely different world, but it's like, I'm not trying to sit the fence too hard here, but like also, it's still a lot of the same world too. So it's just like, yeah,
they did
it's
a good job
humans.
Of boiling it down.
Yeah. It's those are interesting things to read for sure. I've definitely read some of that stuff. It's cool.
And I recommend if you're like, I like people reading to me. I don't know if you can find it on Audible, but you can find a bunch of people on YouTube have gravelly old school voices who have read the Constitution and have that person read you the Constitution. And it's way better. Or at least I enjoyed it. And they're, man, one thing that I really feel like we've lost as like a whole, and I am the first to be leading the lost train here because my handwriting is awful, but calligraphy, like beautiful script with your hands, like that's an amazing, like look at the Constitution. It is gorgeous. And my handwriting is like so bad.
Dude, I was in a coffee shop
can you write
today
in cursive?
Trying to write like, I can't write in cursive anymore. I used to be able to. I write in all caps, which looks pretty bad.
Military style.
I don't know why I switched over to it. I remember I used to write with lowercase letters and caps when you needed them. But I feel like one day I was just switched to all caps. I mean, it is nice because instead of writing like what is like, I mean, it wouldn't be 52 technically letters, but it would be like, you know, because some of them are just bigger versions.
Oh, sure, right.
But like,
and like cursive, like R's and stuff are weird. Like,
right, but like printing all caps is like the simplest way to write, you know. But it also takes a while. But yeah, my handwriting is, it's fine when I want it to be. But like, it looks pretty. Like when I'm writing, I usually will keep like my process behind it is like I'll type stuff out, but if I like see a chunk that I want to work on, or I have like an idea for something that's like a little bit kind of removed from like exactly what I'm working on, I'll kind of have my notebook there just to kind of jot stuff down real quick.
Oh, cool. Okay.
But sometimes I get like kind of ahead of myself and my handwriting gets really, really sloppy. I'm sure it's like that with you too, where you get kind of excited about what you're writing and then it's just like a total mess. And it's like, well, I know I can read it. But if anybody else picked this up, they'd be like, wow, was this written by like a 4-year-old? This guy's like no idea how to write things down. So I'm with you there. I mean, I feel like, you know, calligraphy, writing with like fountain pens and stuff and like kind of paying I feel like with longhand and with calligraphy specifically, probably maybe you're like more deliberate, you know, like maybe you're like thinking a little more about like what you're going to write and like how you're structuring the sentence. Like you really have to like think about it in your head. Maybe
I feel like they approached it like a painter.
And sometimes probably maybe other times it was like, they owe me 4 goats.
Oh,
and
sure. Yeah. Get out the old, what do they use? Not the sextant, the abacus. Yeah. There we go. But yeah, when for the Constitution, I feel like they were like, have everybody like write their name. And they were like, okay, you know, cause like he had the best handwriting.
John Hancock's fucking signature. Like it's so ridiculous. Like ridiculous. So much bigger than everybody else's.
I'm embarrassed to say I cannot read my handwriting sometimes. Like you're right. Well, like if I'm writing a note or something, like on a sticky note that I'm like, oh, whatever, this is just a scratch. I'll be able to read mine later. There's been many times that I'm like, I don't know what this says. Though iPhone with one of their updates, I don't know, a year ago or something, you can take a picture now and then copy text from the picture, which is so great for a book content producer, because I can take a picture of a page and then like take a chunk out of the for like a quote and just copy and paste it, as opposed to like having to write it all out. And sometimes iPhone can translate a sticky note message to myself that I can't read, and it did a very good job. So like, wow, go iPhone.
It's so funny you mentioned that. I went to Best Buy a little bit ago when I bought my PS5, and I was checking out the new iPad, like the new hotness iPad, like the brand new like 11-inch like iPad Pro or whatever, and it had the Apple Pencil, and I was like, how good is this pencil? You know, I wanted to like try it out. Spoiler alert, it's a really good pencil. If it feels like you're just writing with a pencil because they dialed it
really
in. Huh. Yeah, it's really cool. But
did it kind of chalky feel?
No, it doesn't have that.
That's good.
I feel like haptics they could probably nail it. Anyway, so I was writing in like the little notepad thing. I wrote like a little sentence, and I was very surprised with how well it had kind of like transcribed it. So then I was like standing there for a second trying to see how sloppy I could make my handwriting, and it was still that's why it's so funny that you mentioned this, because I was literally just doing this a few days ago.
Ooh, fun.
But like I was really impressed with how
does it transcribe it into a font?
Like regular
or does
font.
It keep your handwriting?
No, it doesn't keep your handwriting. It doesn't fix your handwriting or anything. But like if you scribble like the word, you know, was, like it'll figure out what you're trying to say. Wow. You know, it's just amazing.
That's pretty cool.
These computers, like they're just rocks that talk to each other, and it's just it's amazing.
Just right. And like think of how many different ways there are to make the right. R, you know, because some
seriously.
People connect their letters, some people make them separate, some do all caps, and like the R, the cursive R is a ridiculous symbol. Like it looks like an N with swirlies on top.
It's really dumb.
And like it's really dumb. Yeah. And like the F and stuff, and it looks different if it's
I
connected.
Like the cursive F. The cursive F looks really
fun
especially,
to make. Yeah.
Yeah, the cursive lowercase F, like right on the line. Ooh. Yeah. Oof. That's
yeah.
That's such a dork.
I always think it's gonna be so elegant, and then it just kind of looks like a pregnant letter, you know.
Let's move on to the question from the Discord, shall we?
Yeah, let's go. It's not actually from Discord. It was submitted to me via DM, so we're gonna hit that.
Oh, cool. That's fine.
It's a fun simple one here, and it is just, if you could have an animal companion, a friend animal, that is your friend, we get it, that is a land animal and a sea animal and a dinosaur, what's your three?
Do you mean or?
No. And so you get to pick three animals,
right? But but it can't be a combination. It can't be one animal that's a combination of all three of those. Because you were saying like,
I mean, you could. That like seems limiting.
It's a land animal
you could have
and
two more.
Or, okay, I think I see what you're saying. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I mean, you could pick the platypus if you want, but like,
if anybody's curious, Chad and I don't talk about these questions before.
Clearly, I laughed so hard in the last one where you said something. You implied that we had spent a long time like preparing or something, and we had just got done saying ridiculous answers. It's just I was editing it, just dying.
Animal companion, can they talk?
No, they're animals in our world.
Okay, so like in our world. Okay, cool. I felt like that was a really important question.
I will give you the ability to change its like temperament, you know, so like it's not gonna kill you.
Okay, so yeah, it was like when you say companion, you mean like we have like a emotional bond, and we're
like
cool
almost
with
familiar
each other all the time. Okay, I think that's what you're
totally.
Saying. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'll answer them off the top of my head, because that'll be more exciting, because I'm sure you already got yours because you knew what the question was. So,
I do, yeah.
Off the top of my head, land animal would be a bear, a black bear.
Okay.
Personally.
You should give me the whys now, or do you want to go through all three?
I can go through it, yeah.
Give me the whys, yeah.
So the reason I chose bear, obviously, bears are amazing. They're one of the coolest animals in the world.
Super cool. What sort of bear?
Well, I said black bear because I feel like I can fit him in places better. You know, I feel like grizzly bears are gigantic. They're way too big. I couldn't bring it into like a coffee shop with me. Black bear, you know, still really big, but like manageable. So black bear, I think, for land animal. For water animal, so my next question is, am I in the water with this animal, or is that animal in a tank of its choosing or comfort level in my immediate vicinity on land?
I feel like you automatically get the accommodations that come for your animal. Mm. So like, you know, you have a bay, you're living on a bay. Yeah. If you have a shark, have or like a connection. You know? Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because like, obviously you wouldn't want to put the shark in a cage, like the, like a tub, you know, that'd be lame.
I mean, I'm going to have to go with octopus, right?
Oh, good.
Yeah. Like what else?
Oh, that'd be great.
They're
like the thief class of the animals. Rogues. They're the rogues of ocean critters. Yeah, for sure.
They're also the mages though. You know, they're just so cool. Yeah, octopuses are really, really interesting.
They're magical.
And they're really emotional too. I feel like an octopus would be a really interesting companion to have.
Yeah, they might be a little needy sometimes. I wonder if the squids are like necromancers.
Speaking of that, there's a really cool book by Ray Naylor called The Mountain in the Sea. That's about sentient octopuses. So go check that out, everybody. Okay, so then the last one was dinosaur?
Yeah.
That's the tough one. Because that's basically like asking, like, what's your favorite?
Totally, kind of. But like, you know, there's also some like utility for what they can do, you know? Right. It's like they could be your favorite, but like it'd be cool to have, you know, one that could charge.
I feel like it would have to be a pterodactyl though. Like
can they hold you? That's the question that I was just gonna ask.
Dude, there's no way a pterodactyl wouldn't be able to hold me. Those things are massive.
Like their bones are hollow. Like 30-foot wingspan's not getting you like super far. True. You're probably way 10 times what the But I mean, I'm cool with saying that you could ride it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to say, like, if it's believable that I could have a dinosaur companion, we're going to go ahead and stretch possibilities here a little more and say I could ride a pterodactyl. If I can ride a pterodactyl, that's the one for sure. So, yeah. So black bear, octopus, pterodactyl, very comfortable with those answers.
Don't you think you might be shot down like a pterodactyl? You might be like a dragon in the skies, like... You better not fly over the south, dude. You're going to get nailed by some like dude who's like, what's that? Shooting you down for sure.
No one's going to shoot a pterodactyl. They're too cool.
They'd be terrifying. If you had like a 30-06 and you were in the forest, you saw a pterodactyl fly over you, you might try to shoot it.
Like that scene in have you seen Jurassic Park 3? The one where they brought Sam Neill back? That scene in the pterodactyl pen where like they're on like that misty bridge and the pterodactyl kind of like waddles forward. Like that's a pretty creepy part. Yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, which is... It's hard to make a flying animal creepy on land. You know, they did a really good job given like knuckles. Okay. So my first one is I've always wanted to have a big cat.
Yeah.
So I think that I would go for a snow leopard for my land animal.
Respectable.
Because they're beautiful. They're endangered. So I'm like helping out that situation. And they're just like, dude, is this one more?
Oh, you're like keeping one safe, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're not going. They're not going extinct on my watch, you know?
I mean, that one isn't. That one snow leopard isn't going extinct on your watch.
I mean, he'd be sad. He'd be a sad snow leopard. You know, there's like one of a type of rhino, and he's so old because rhinos can get very old that he's no longer of mating age, but they tried for many years to get him to mate, and he's the last one, and there was one female, and unfortunately.
Man, rhinos are so cool. They're also, so cool. Also one of my favorite animals, too, yeah.
I almost picked rhino. Yeah, in fact, really cool. I would have picked rhino if not for my dinosaur pick, which I'll tell you why here in a second. So big cat.
I think I might know.
Awesome. I've always loved it. Like, I wouldn't in real life, because if I had like a tiger or a big cat that has the temperament of my cat, I would die.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it would have killed me on accident.
A lot of people would die. It was on a rampage.
Yeah. Yeah, super, super. Okay, so for my sea critter, I went with an otter. Because they're so playful and like an otter best friend, like a sea otter, of course.
Totally. Yeah. Brilliant. I agree.
They hold hands while they sleep so they don't drift away from each other. It's like the cutest.
They crack open their food on their tummies.
Yeah. They also have some like pretty not cool traits. Like people are always like, they're so adorable.
No, they're pretty vicious. Yeah.
They do some vicious things and like, you know, they're, I won't get into the finer details of otter society, but they can do some messed up things to other otters. And then for my dinosaur companion, I'm going to go Brontosaurus because I'm Ollie Fonten building a fort on that thing's back and it's going to be my like traveling RV. I'm going to build a tiny home up there, you know, and then I'll have this like Brontosaurus traveling house.
I think both of us are very much overestimating how much these dinosaurs can hold.
Dude, Brontosaurus.
They're really big.
They're huge. Yeah. They're huge. And like, I don't know how big. I'm going with like Jurassic Park Brontosaurus. You know, I don't really know how big they were in real life, but that
I think
one.
That the I think that the long necked dinosaurs in Jurassic Park are not actually Brontosaurus.
Oh, really? Like, if I don't know the name, I just think they're a Plateosaur. Like, you know, that's like a workout or something.
It's an Apatosaurus.
An Apatosaurus. Wow, nice work, dude. Way to be on your animal game.
I don't know
game.
Why I knew that the dinosaurs in the beginning of Jurassic Park weren't Brontosaurus.
I would expect nothing less. Oh, so God. If I didn't go with the Brontosaurus to have my Oliphant experience, I would have gone with Rhino because, like, ain't nothing's getting in the way of a Rhino, no. You know, like, yeah. Charging on that thing. Like, man, yeah. Everyone else is in traffic. You're just like, get out of my way. Cars flipping them over and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for, like, it's like, if we get our animal companion, and then the first instinct for 2 out of the 6 of them is to ride them, but, like, you just gotta ride.
Yeah, one gives you
like,
flight.
So cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was hard for me not to pick pterodactyl. I just feel like I'd leave my cat behind and my otter, you know?
I wonder who first rode a horse. Like, somebody at
a
one
very
point.
Very brave person.
Yeah, somebody was just like, I bet. I could rock right up on top of that thing, and I bet if I held on hard enough, it'd be able to take me places. Like, when do you think first time that happened was?
Were they the first animal that they tried? You know,
definitely
they're like,
not.
Oh, let's try a tiger.
Definitely
you know, let's try
not.
The giraffe.
No, absolutely you know, like, not. They were probably trying to ride all kinds of stuff, and the horses were like, "All right,
all right, fine."
That's probably not
wow,
how it
that's
went
crazy.
Down.
They're like, the cow worked out, but it was really boring. They're just like, go faster.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I never even thought about, like, who was the first one to do that, you know?
Yeah, I think about that kind of stuff with all kinds of things. Like, who was the first person to try this out? You know what I mean?
Have you ever seen the picture of Theodore Roosevelt, my favorite president, on a moose? He's riding a moose?
No.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Doesn't get much
awesome.
More American than that, folks.
Dude, he got shot during a yeah, speech and yeah. finished his speech yeah, before getting medical help. And we have the teddy bear because of him. Yeah, he traveled up the Amazon. Just the coolest. All right.
I think we should wrap it up. I think
we should wrap it up, too. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was good to talk to you again, man.
Yeah, dude, good to talk to you, man.
After
I'm glad.
So long. We have a lot of work to do this week.
I know, dude. I got a lot of reading to do.
Yeah. Well, we got to do Air of Fire here pretty soon. Expect that episode, everybody, on Wednesday.
Though.
Yes, I feel refreshed, too. Like,
invigorized.
Two episodes for you coming at you. The Air of Fire episode, which I think might be the last of the Throne of Glass episodes we do, one book, one episode. We might be able to do Queen of Shadows in one episode.
We're getting thick.
I think that for Empire of Storms, Tower of Dawn, and Kingdom of Ash, we're going to have to split those episodes up. Like those books up. They're really Kingdom of Ash is like 1,000 pages long.
Wow.
Yeah. That one actually might have to be 3 episodes. Or we might have to do like I think what we might end up doing is like a 2 episodes for the last 3 books, and we might have a guest on for like a recap of the whole series kind of discussion.
Ooh.
Type thing. So
I love that idea.
Yeah, let us know if you're interested in that, everybody.
Before we get Sarah J. Moss, of course, Sarah, we know you're listening, and this time you have to come on.
That'd be so cool. Oh my gosh.
So cool.
But until then, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode.
You guys are the best.
The Monday Morning Minute. It's always here for you every week, even when we take a vacation. It's always out every Monday. That's our thing. But yeah, I'm going to go read. I need to go finish up our Memories of Ice read and some other stuff that I've actually been working on.
I'm
going
to go read as well. Maybe listen to another speech by Patton.
I guess. Could do that.
So much fun. It's very entertaining.
All right. Goodbye. Goodbye for real this time, everybody. Hope you have an amazing rest of your day. And of course, happy reading.
Bye, everybody.